Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We had some good guests in today. We had an Olympic gold medalist, Greg Rutherford.
We had James Richardson, the fine presenter.
Yep. We had a chat with him. And also we spoke to a world record holder, a woman who's sung the lowest note in history. Pretty good, isn't it?
Yes.
And we had a bit of a chat.
Yes.
And a bit of a chat as well. So here it all is.
Good afternoon, Paul, and yes, well played Wolves last night. A very enjoyable game, actually. United, there's such a knee-jerk reaction everywhere to United's defeat. I mean, give the bloke to the end of the season. Let's see what they do in the Champions League. Let's see whether they finish in the top four.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great result, but you know what football's like. They could have been 3-0 up. It wouldn't have been, if they'd been 3-0 up after 16 minutes, you'd have said, what a start by United. They're going to win this game. They've been superb. But they missed two chances and that's it. And then Wolves grew into the game and then they had one attack and then they scored with their next attack. And then after that, yeah, they played brilliantly, Wolves. The second half, they deserved to win, no question about it. It's interesting, though, my evening often depends on, you know, I sit there watching the game and I make some notes about the game. And then I look at other sort of things. And I spent about five, I've written here, stop wasting 5 minutes trying to come up with puns for Rubén Vinagre.
So you've actually told yourself off?
Yes.
Really?
Though I didn't have the idea of him opening a salad dressing business with Huddersfield chairman Dean Hoyle, Hoyle and Vinegar.
Yeah. Is he Vinegar or Vinagre?
Well, he's Vinegra and Vinagre, which has gave me a lot of problems, really. So
yeah.
I gave
up. The whole thing off.
I then ended up looking at my Samsung fitness app.
Did you really?
Yes, and because I was just checking my steps. And you won't believe this.
How many steps
no,
have you
no,
done?
I am in the top 4%. Of all Samsung fitness users, and that's over 1 million people in the last set. There must be some right slobs in there. Can you imagine? If I'm in the top four, there must be some people who are just comatose.
The other people are all having an MRI at the zoo this afternoon. Wow, we.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
That's amazing,
And I met a friend after work yesterday, and we were talking about the IPO.
You had a celebrity, a sporting celebrity.
I saw Gordon Strachan, yes.
Yeah, he was just leaving
the Wolves.
Leaving the Wolves.
A very popular restaurant in the centre of London.
Yeah.
A very nice place, actually. And,
nice.
So we were just having tea in there with my mate.
Tea at the Wolves?
Well, you know, why not?
Yeah.
It's got to be done, isn't it?
Yeah.
And my friend said to me, we were talking about he loves the IPO and I love the IPO. And he said to me, what was that game you told me to watch? And I went, oh, I don't know. I think it was Ben Stokes' team versus Rabada's side.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, and the team that Pant plays for versus, you know, the other. And
you can't
remember the team names.
Yeah.
I know the Mumbai Indians.
Yeah.
I kind of know the names, but you can't sort of associate. And that's really, the problem that it's gonna, that they're going to have with the 100, you know, this new competition that they.
So you'll be saying things like, Ben Stokes' team versus Joe Root's team.
I think it'll be a bit of that, you know.
Well, no, we kind of know what parts of the country they come from. So
it's probably different if you're in India.
You know, Joe Root can go and play for a team in London. It just comes down to who buys him, doesn't it, really?
But they've got these plans to... I don't know if I've got this piece from this morning. The ECB have got these sort of ambitious plans to market the 100. It all involves social media and... Oh, here it is, yeah. And
I thought it might involve social media. It'd be a bit daft if they had
fast-paced
a blanket ban on using social media.
The organisers see their prime target for growth as tech-savvy fans who get their information from WhatsApp. Somebody tell them it's still cricket.
Yeah.
Whatever you do with it, however they get it, through the phone, on the telly, whatever, it's cricket. If you don't like cricket, you're not going to like it. You might as well be honest about this. Whatever you do with it.
I mean, one day you do wonder if someone at the ECB is going to sit and say, do you know what? They've got a point. If you don't like cricket, you're not going to like this. It doesn't matter really what we do. We can change the length of the overs. We can do this. We can do that. We can. It's still fundamentally someone bowling at some stumps and then trying to fend it off with a bat, isn't it?
Get rid of the bat and the stumps. Yeah. Get a sort of round ball, large round ball, and let them play football.
Yeah.
That'll be it. That'll work.
It better work, because otherwise they could have given all of the counties about sort of 5 million quid each.
And I know, it's about 200 million quid. I'm looking forward to it because I love cricket, but that's, you know, I'm not...
You're not the target. You're not there watching it on your phone, are you, down with the kids?
I'm definitely not the target market. No, definitely. What else have we got here? Yes, this is a good story, that a zoo in Germany has scored an own goal by naming a polar bear after Hertha Berlin.
Oh, okay.
And Hertha Berlin are not popular. They're the city's only first division team, but they're so unpopular with their own fans that they once told a survey that it was their least favourite side in the Bundesliga. That's their own fans.
Their own fans.
Sorry, wasn't the manager, was he? I'm looking forward to tonight.
Are you really?
I can't. I showed you the text from my son. They're funny, aren't they?
He's actually just coming to eat something to say hello to you, then go at half time. In fact, he said he might even go before the game kicks off, so it doesn't ruin the evening.
It's just, I hope to be wrong, but it just feels like every game feels the same. So tonight's game will be, you know, 0-0 at half time. Then just after half time, Glenn Murray will nick one from a set piece.
You'll win that tonight.
And then we'll be struggling to get back in the game. We may equalise.
2-0 tonight, Chelsea, I'm going for. Anyway,
well, theoretically.
I'm off to a match tonight, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Yes.
And we'll
be very excited.
Touching on that. But first off, we're going to get a Palace angle because, you know, generally people are sort of saying, you know, Tottenham's new ground, etc., etc. But what are the Palace fans make of it all, being potential party poopers? We'll find out. Kevin Day, friend of the show, comedian, Palace fan. I'm not sure if he's going or not. We'll find out very shortly when he joins us. Scott Davis makes a welcome return. He is working with Epic Gambling Risk these days. He's a former professional footballer, had his own issues with gambling. He's bringing along Patrick Foster, a former North Ants cricketer who found himself in a similar predicament. And Scott these days speaks to a lot of EFL clubs and beyond, and speaks to their young players about the pitfalls of gambling. So we'll be chatting about that. Bit of light relief in that Helen Lee joins us. She has just set a world record for the lowest note sung by a woman.
Good.
We think that's sport.
Now
she's heavily pregnant. So we're going to bring you a recording of the low note, because there is a slight fear that if she does it again, she'll bring it on. And we don't want that to happen yet. So
I'm looking for a singer because I wanted to go. I forgot to congratulate Mr. Showbiz, Mike Dean.
Oh, yeah.
For his 100th red card that he achieved last night. And I did have the idea that Michael Ball could record all the names of the people he'd sent off, like, sing them, including the offences they were dismissed for. Like,
that's a nice
two
idea.
Two yellows.
Mike Dean, the opera.
Out of control.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? But if Mike Dean had taken his top off,
yes.
100 not out, a red T-shirt. That would have been nice.
It would have been great.
I'm surprised he didn't, actually.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So a bit of a change of gear now, I think it's fair to say. And we do love a record holder on this show, of course. And so we're joined now by someone who has broken the world record for the lowest note sung by a woman. 72.5 hertz.
Bet it did.
I bet it. Tap in. Do you want to? Should we hear the note first? Let's hear the note before we speak to Helen. This is how low Helen is able to take it. Sure what to expect from Helen's voice, whether it's down here or up. Anyway, let's find out. Hi, Helen.
Hello.
Oh, it's mid-range.
Mid-range.
That's right.
It's mid-range.
Wow-wee.
Now, well, that's an achievement.
We were going to ask you to do this live, but you are with child and quite late into the process, so we didn't want to sort of bring it on. So it was a good idea we probably played that, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's not easy, actually, to hit that note at the moment. I don't know if it's because I don't get enough air or the hormones. Not sure what it is, but I'm happy that I managed it on the day, to be honest.
How did you discover that, I mean, obviously you're a singer, but how did you discover that you could sing so low and that it would possibly qualify for a world record?
I just really sort of tested it out. I mean, I was on The Voice in Germany in 2017, and that got me quite a lot of press coverage. And then I thought, right, you need to do something, because, like you said, I'm a singer and a musician, and I've got my second album coming out at the end of the summer. And I thought, okay, I've got to do something to sort of, you know, get a bit of attention, really. And yeah, then I did a bit of research, and I saw that there wasn't sort of really any women out there that could compete with me when it came to tone and frequency. And I thought, why not give it a go?
What kind of style of singing do you do?
Well, I write and I sing. It's sort of a mixture between acoustic and Celtic folk, but it's got sort of pop influences as well. So it's not very Lord of the Rings, you know. You can listen to it.
Do you throw in the odd Barry White number?
Actually, I've got a song coming out called The Loch Ness Monster, and that goes quite deep. That's when I hit the D2 that I did on the record day itself. Wow. So yeah, that'll be on the album.
It has to be. I take it. It has to be a kind of note in tune. Does it? Is there any kind of rules and regulations around it?
It's so much. Honestly, it took me about a year to prepare for the records. There were so many documents to fill out. I had to get witnesses that were professionals in the music industry. I mean, you know, the record itself, I mean, obviously, I think any Guinness World Record, it's never easy, you know, either mentally or physically. But just the bureaucracy surrounding it, it was a challenge.
Do you know who held the record prior to you, or is it a new record?
It's funnily enough, it's a new one. So for men, there's the highest and the lowest note. And for women, there's the highest. But nobody's actually tried to do the lowest one yet. So I hope I can keep my crown for a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah. Are there any songs that particularly helps you sing? I mean, kind of popular songs, not necessarily your own written stuff. But is there stuff that it kind of helps you hit the notes on?
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, I come from the Celtic folk background. I mean, there you have lots of Guinness, which I think helps
vocals
of the voice. And also, it's just the kind of music it is. It's quite rowdy. It's quite boisterous. And you're encouraged, actually, to not maybe, you know, sort of sing beautifully, just to sort of let it all out. And I think sort of over the years, that's kind of trained me to go to places with my voice that maybe I wouldn't have dared gone before, you know?
Wow. Well, how does once you get the record, what do? They kind of give you, how long does it take to get the actual confirmation?
It's a very slow process. So first off, I mean, I did it on the day, and everybody that was there said, okay, you've managed to do it. And then it took about 4 months to get a little email from Guinness saying, you've done it. And then it took about another 1.5 months to actually get a certificate. So, you know, it takes a while for it all to get processed.
Do you feel there's anybody, could you do better? Do you feel that you could take it even lower or not?
Do you know what? Probably, because the thing is, when I did it, actually, it was just the start of the pregnancy, and I could feel the difference in my voice. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, in the future, we'll see. If somebody tries to break it, I'm definitely going to go for it again, because I want to keep that record.
Brilliant. Well, look, well done. Congratulations. And I hope everything goes well, sort of, with the baby and stuff. Oh, yeah, and you come back and you break the record sort of after you've had the child. That'd be nice.
Yeah, why not? All right. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Helen.
Shattered the record, obviously. That's only a high voice.
It wouldn't shatter it. Yeah, that's it. Might, the windows might rattle.
They might.
World record holder for the lowest note.
It was low, wasn't it? Should we want to hear it?
Let's hear it again. In case you just think, what was going on there, and you just joined us, have a listen to the lowness of this.
We've ever sunk to on this show.
We've sunk very low. That's officially the lowest we've ever sunk.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I've got bodyguard star Richard Madden. I don't know if you've seen his a picture of him in the Sun this morning. He's got a sort of grey Malian. Is it called a Malian streak? It's
the Malins. It Malins. Was a TV show, wasn't it, back in the 70s?
Not Malian, that's something.
And it was the kind of Dickie Davis equivalent. Yeah, he's channeling his own
inner Dickie Davis.
Yeah, he's got a bit of Dickie Davis going on there, isn't
perhaps
he?
Perhaps he's rehearsing for these new. Part in the Dickie Davis
story.
That's
one of those phrases. If you say someone's got the Malin streak, they're going to have to be over 50. Yeah. It's something, if you just, it's kind of, it might be a kind of a code.
That's basically, you could apply that to most of this show.
Like an oldie code, isn't it, really? Well, I'll tell you what, that's quite zeitgeisty compared with what's coming up with James Richardson. So, yeah, don't worry about that.
Now, exciting news for people. Gemma Collins' long-awaited reality TV show is a reality, according
to
this.
You've got no
song.
Time for that. You told us yesterday Gemma Collins said she had the answer to Brexit.
I know.
Didn't you?
It'll have a similar format to...
I'd say that would be that'd get very good figures as a question time, wouldn't it?
Gemma Collins. It would.
Yeah. I imagine most of the answers would start with not being funny. Wouldn't it? I would imagine they're not being funny, right? I mean, it'd be the first time. You don't normally get that from Diane Abbott, do you?
You don't really. It'll have a similar format, her show, to the one-off Diva Espanol. What a great title that is.
Yeah.
Which had fans begging more.
Well, I begged. I went, I've still got the cuts on my knees. Talking of which,
what
Andy,
a triumph of overarching ambition over talent, really.
I've got a picture to share with you. Not one of those. it's not one of those sorts of pictures. Let me see if I can find it. It's in here somewhere. Yeah, this is an Italian. I think no, it's not. It's a football team from back in the days, back in the 30s, I think. Of course, I've taken the picture 30s. And not remembered the team. But look what the goalkeeper has on his knees. Just to explain it to the boys and girls, what the goalkeeper has on his knees.
Like kind of knee pads. No, like
well, they are.
Pads.
But what do they look like? They look like batting gloves.
Oh, yeah. They do look like batting gloves.
It's the goalkeeper. I mean, when did that die out? When did that idea...
Is that Harry Kane next to him?
Yeah, look at that. Could be. When did the idea of goalkeepers wearing knee pads during games that look like batting gloves finally go? When did they stop doing
idea.
It? I mean, the pitches are much harder now as well, so they have even more reason.
Well, I don't know. Do you remember that period, which would be coming up now, towards the end of the season, where... You lose the sort of waterlogged pitch, and then it turns into that dry. I mean, people who play park football will know this. This dry thing where the pitch completely dries out and becomes hard, almost like playing on a sort of playground or something.
Yeah.
You might have worn those then.
Did you see your official website, by the way, Andy? ChelseaFC.com have basically done the team talk for the Slavia Prague manager.
Oh, yeah, what have they said?
Well, they said West Ham and Sparta Prague tickets on general sale.
Well,
and Slavia Prague came on and said,
really?
Yeah, I think you're fine, you're playing Slavia, lads.
Oh, dear.
And not Sparta. So
I noticed that when the draw came out, their team... We're like overjoyed to be facing
Chelsea, really.
To be facing Sarri's Harlem Globetrotter All Stars, as I like to think
that's
of them.
That's a bit overconfident. Well done, Ken Doherty. He's doing rather well at the moment.
This.
Yeah, Ken has he puts down his win over Mark Williams in the China Open to a night out with Jackie Chan. Met up with Jackie Chan in Hong Kong. They did a bit of karaoke. had a few beers, a little bit of dinner together. He said, I showed him some snooker trick shots, and he said, he has inspired me. So they thought, if you lose to Ken now, you might get sort of a chopped to the back of the head or something. Possible. Yeah, quite possibly.
Staying in that part of the world, in Zhejiang, China, this is in the Daily Star today, doctors have performed surgery to remove 70 magnetic balls from an 11-year-old boy after he basically inserted them somewhere. I won't name it at this time.
Okay, fair enough.
Out of curiosity, apparently, the doctors. That seems quite a strange thing to do.
Yeah, really. I've never been that curious. I remember that when I was about 7 years old, though, 6, 7 years old, I wondered what would happen if I ran my dad's razor across my hand.
Did you?
Yeah. And luckily, I realised quite quickly as the claret appeared.
I wonder why you've got a long lifeline when I read your palm.
Yeah, that's right. I went to a woman in Blackpool once. She said, I'm going to live for 250 years. No, it wasn't that bad. But you do daft stuff when you're a kid. Maybe not 11 with ball bearings, anyway. Why is it everybody ultimately, doesn't matter who you support, turns on Tony Pulis? And the latest, of course, is the Borough fans who joined in with the Bristol City fans last night singing You're Getting Sacked in the Morning. That's 5 defeats now. I mean, they're still on the kind of cusp of the playoffs, but they were in the box seat a while back, and it seems the Borough fans have had enough.
The problem is, it's like Big Sam. It's fine. The football, you sort of tolerate this sort of football if you're winning.
You don't
really particularly like it, but you'll sort of think, well, we're winning, we're in the playoffs, and Borough fans have been thinking. But when you lose 5 in a row, you think, really? So not only is it quite terrible to watch, but it's actually not very effective. Yeah. And that's what happens with these particular styles of play. It can be very effective, and obviously all the managers I've talked about have had success, but, you know, in the end, the fans do want to be entertained. They want to win, but they actually want to enjoy it.
Sure. There was a gate at the Riverside last night. It was towel gate. Basically, Mo Besic, the Borough sub, he sparked a 17-man melee, which is nice.
Oh, dear.
By throwing a towel from the touchline at Marlon Pack when City won a throw-in. And Lee Johnson, the manager of Bristol City, said, what was tailgate? We noticed the ball boy popped up with a towel for them, so we asked the ref for it to be equal. He wanted their own towel. Besic decided to give us the towel, so thanks for that. So here we are. He's taken
that's
the sting
out. That's a good point, actually. I always think that's an unfair thing that the home team provide. They should provide, you know, it should be a league rule. You have to if you provide towels for one, you have to provide them for another.
Well, clearly it worked last night because the ref sorted it out for them.
Do you want some stats on opening night performances in, this was good in The Guardian today, in stadiums? So, for example, the first night at the Riverside, you're talking Borough, they won 2-0. They beat Chelsea on the 26th of August, 1995. Derby and Wimbledon, you're going to hope this doesn't happen. This was the first night at Pride Park. Lights failed in the 56th minute.
Oh, no.
And Derby leading 2-1. And by the time the power was restored, the game had been called off.
Dear.
Do you want to know the Bolton Stadium, Reebok Stadium?
Reebok,
of course it is. That was 0-0 against Everton, 1st of September 1997. Southampton, the first game at St Mary's was against Chelsea. Chelsea won 2-0. Wow. Oh, you don't want that.
Yeah. I was talking to Laurie outside his Arsenal fan, one of our gaffers here. They drew.
They drew with Villa, 1-1.
Villa, that's right. So it was a draw. But that I did point out to him, that was at the start of the season, that picking it up now from Tottenham's point of view, Kevin Day was saying early on, maybe both teams be happy with a draw. I mean, Tottenham, no, they're going to have to win. They're going to have to win all their home games.
That's true. They're going to be fired up to win. City State, they drew 1-1 with Portsmouth. And finally, West Ham in the London Stadium, they won 3-0, but they were playing NK Domzale.
NK Doms.
No. So okay. A bit of a mixed record.
Okay, well, let's see if we can buck the trend.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Making a welcome return to the studio. Always good to see from the Totally Football Show live, and of course BT Sport, the Goal Show, and other fine work. And of course, back in the day, Football Italia, James Richardson. Hi, James.
Hi, Hawksby and Jacobs.
Good to see you. Now, you were just chatting there before we come on to the podcast that now and again for BT, you'll do a bit of National League football, won't you?
I love a bit of National League football.
Yeah.
And sometimes they let me out for the early rounds of the FA Cup as well.
Really?
Yeah, you know.
And I love the fact you sit at the top table watching Champions League most of the time, and then you're sent to do that. Wouldn't it be nice to do a kind of Conference South goals roundup with you? Julien Laurent and the gang, you know. And
goal
just
to at
yeah, goal. What?
Goal! Yeah. Goal at walking!
That is a genius idea. Yeah, just genuinely is a brilliant idea.
All of you absolutely love the kind of top end of football, having to watch balls hoofed into the channels. With respect to our producer, who's a Torquay fan.
Absolutely. But the viewers might prefer to watch an entire game between, say, Maidstone and Struggles. But yes.
Yes, yeah.
But it's an idea.
I'd watch it to hear you boys giving it the Champions League treatment. It would be good.
We were saying to your fair, we love that show. It's a brilliant show.
The National League, yeah.
No, the Champions League show.
Yeah.
The goal show. You don't do it in the second half of the competition, or do you?
No, the fact that you don't have a whole load of games happening at the same time kind of mitigates the kibosh
against it,
on it.
Yeah.
But it is a good show, and it's become popular. I tell you, I like to watch halftime. Even if I'm watching a whole game, I'll go to you and watch all the goals that have gone in, and same at the end, and it works.
Yeah, yes, inspired. Now, you've the podcast, we talked about it before, the Totally Football Show, which is doing rather well. You're doing a live gig.
Yes. So every now and then we go out and do these live things, which it's really nice. It's an interesting dynamic because people are essentially turning up and even paying us to be there so that we can reproduce the magic that normally they get for free, you know, on their phone.
It's a very different medium. Right, it's one thing listening to a podcast on headphones.
Yes.
It's another thing sitting in a theatre
and actually looking at the people doing it.
Entertained, expecting James Horncastle to perhaps bring out an instrument and start playing.
Does he play anything?
Well,
it's
interesting you should mention that because he claims to be the drummer.
Okay.
And he looks like a drummer, to be fair.
He does.
Anytime that we've asked him, we've provided him with writing influence for him to tip the
He won't play.
So I don't know. But yes, I do take your point. And there is a dimension that can be explored, not just because we're in front of people, but also we're not broadcasting. So we can talk about things without, you know, the lawyers present.
There's nothing visual. There won't be anything particularly visual on the... There won't be a laser show anything.
There'll be all the dynamic excitement of four people talking about football.
And now, what a venue.
Yeah, now, you're live at Leeds, much like The Who, but in a different venue, of course. That was the uni. But this is the City Varieties Music Hall, which is a lovely... Have you been there?
I've not.
It's a lovely theatre.
Yeah.
It's a really lovely theatre. Mm. And it was the home for many years of a TV show back in the 70s. One of those 80s.
Around between the 60s and the 80s.
Before any of our listeners were born.
Well, that won't stop us. And it's one of those shows we can talk about, of course, of those we can't. So calm down. Yeah. You're okay. I could see you looking a bit worried. You thought it might be that show, but it wasn't. The good old days was basically...
Good old days.
Dress up in Victorian clothes, and then they would go and watch different music hall turns.
Nowadays they have the Conservative Party for that.
There we are, a little bit of satire. So we're going to play a little bit of...
The good old days.
Leonard Sachs, only about half an hour. No, not obviously, a couple of seconds. But Leonard Sachs,
think this is how you should introduce
who was the
your panellists.
Whack those on a second, James, and have a listen to Leonard Sachs in action during the show, because this was very much his thing.
In an arably, ineluctable, nonpareil, nenuphar, of nobility.
See, what he would do is use very long words, and the audience would go, ooh. So, I mean, I'm sure you and Rory Smith and James and Julian, you can come up with some long words. Hopefully the audience, there'll be a few there in Victorian dress who go, ooh.
And at the end of
somebody will say, Catenaccio.
At the end of it, when you announce, say, Julien Laurent, what he would have done is he bangs a gavel.
He would bang a gavel.
Julien would?
No.
Leonard Sachs. Julien's banging in.
Leonard Sachs.
Leonard Sachs.
So, just look, it's. Don't feel you have to do it. All we're doing is saying, that's what they used to do. There may be an expectation that you should do it.
That's the second good idea you've given me already.
So, take those away with you.
Yes.
They're yours.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Joining us in the studio now, an Olympic gold medalist. Greg Rutherford. Hi, Greg.
Thanks for having me,
guys. You never get tired of that. Yeah, I would imagine.
It's always nice, especially as I've now been retired about 6 months or so.
Yeah.
So it's nice to remember when I was once fit, active and half decent at sport.
How often did you get the medal out just to have a look to show it to people?
Funny enough, somebody else asked me that earlier. I've not seen it in a very long time.
Really?
Like, I can't even, maybe within the last year and a half or so, I've not seen it. I just put it away. It's been kept in like a safety deposit box.
Right.
It was in the bank for quite a long time. Just kept away.
Right. We're going to talk sporting matters in a moment. Before we do, though, this was a bit depressing, really, but not altogether surprising, this research by Lego that we're going to be talking about. It seems the younger generation are not particularly interested in pursuing what we would call the heroic careers, firefighter, police officer, etc., etc.
Yeah, so Sam Wasser, if any of you have seen the Channel 4 show, when they're watching the four-year-olds.
I love that show.
It's a brilliant show. Lego City commissioned him and his team to come in and get some stats and then myself to come and look at it. But yeah, we're in a situation now currently where kids are aspiring more to be involved with just creating YouTube content and trying to become YouTube stars. They look at fame and fortune through that as the way to go about their lives, rather than actually looking at some of the jobs that really make the world go round, to be told. It's like you mentioned, firefighters and police officers, teachers, etc. And that's obviously slightly worrying, because you don't want everybody assuming if you put a camera in your face, that's it, yes, you made for life. And the stats are worrying. I mean, one in five thinking that's the way to go, and only about 4% of 8 to 12-year-olds thinking that actually one of the more traditional heroic jobs is a way of making a living. It just seems slightly wrong as well.
Because these people are your role models if you're that age, you know.
Yeah, well, that is the thing. And I think what's really interesting, I guess, is, I mean, I'm a parent to two young boys at the moment, and I'm finding it slightly with my slightly older one. At times he'll watch the odd YouTube video, but the difference is, I guess, what I try and do with that, if he watches something and it's somebody playing with like a tractor or digger, I make sure that equally he's interested in play and actually doing it himself. And obviously this is working with Lego City, and I'm a big fan myself of Lego, hence why I'm also here. So we get involved with that side of things and play. I mean, it's silly things like...
He could become an influencer. You make a fortune.
Yeah, you never know.
These kids are making a fortune. No, you can see why this happens.
But this is the thing, isn't it?
I mean, it's like saying that everybody at the local track, they're going to go on to become Olympic champions. Yeah, there's an awful lot of hard work that obviously goes in. And the guys that are the top influencers, I mean, they're incredible. What they have to do and the years that they put into it to try and create an actual life for themselves, it's not easy to do. But I think we are in a bit of a throwaway culture where it's like, well, we'll just do whatever is the quickest and easiest way, as he's seen, to make cash and get fame. And it's not really the way the world goes around.
And it'd be a bit galling if, like, hi, it's Tony here. Thanks for following me again on YouTube. Chris's house is on fire, you can see in the background. And it's good job he's not in, and his mum and dad, no one's in. But blimey, the flames are getting high. Don't forget, it'd be horrible, wouldn't it?
There has been situations where that's happened, isn't there? There's been like people just recording extreme things going on without actually thinking, do you know, maybe I should call emergency services and things like that to try and help. It's more, what content can we get? It's bizarre, isn't it?
But it was interesting. I was watching a YouTuber who's, I won't name him, but he's made a fortune, this guy.
Yeah. And you're obsessed with him making a fortune, aren't you? Well, you want a bit of that. You want to go for that kind of oldie market. The Silver Surfers YouTube market.
That's not going to happen, is it?
Yeah.
And I watched him presenting a normal TV show.
Yeah.
And clearly, he was useless.
Right.
And clearly, he'd had no real training. He had no real... He hadn't gone through the process that you need to do to be a very good presenter, i.e. start small, maybe work in a local radio journalist. You know, progression. He'd just gone from this massive fame, from being this bloke that had a phone camera in his face, to actually having to do the discipline. And he was hopeless.
Yeah, but that's
really interesting.
And I think kids, they predominantly just see the end product. I mean, it's similar within sport. You watch like your sporting heroes, and you see them scoring a goal, which means you win the FA Cup, or somebody win an Olympic gold medal, whatever else. There's so much that goes in to get to that stage. It's not all about the glory that comes of it. There's so much hard work to get there. And for every one person that makes that, there's going to be an awful lot that sadly haven't. Mm. So having other avenues and other ideas of what you can do in the world, I think, is really, really important. I mean, I worked three different jobs before I turned professional. I had other ideas of what I could potentially be if it wasn't sport, as much as I wanted it to be sport. But I had to have ideas. And equally, during my career, I always knew it would end. I mean, I retired at 31, and sadly, track and field isn't like some of the other sports. You can't just live off of what you did before. Mm.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. It would have been a bit awkward had she done it live and like our waters broke. We would have felt really bad, wouldn't we? So it didn't happen. So anyway, that's it.
You're off.
I'm off to the lane. You're off to the bridge. Oh, let's hope for positive results. And we'll be picking over the bones of Tottenham's new stadium and the football and all that other stuff tomorrow from 1. Thanks for downloading us.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.